everybody. This is the life and art of Frida Kahlo. Oh, come on in. Still time. I'm just getting started. And for those of you who don't know, Frida Kahlo is the most famous Latino artist in the world. She died about 57 years ago, actually. But her fame is late on coming, and it's really funny. I'm going to show you pictures of her diary in which she says that she's going to be eternal. And everybody laughed then, but I don't know who's laughing now. But anyway, and how I came to Frida, of course, being Latina, I've always looked up to her. I lived in Mexico. That's where I met my husband, Zarco. I'm actually from Brazil, South America. And I was a summer in Tepoztlan, a real tiny village just south of Mexico City. And we kind of ran into each other at this market. And 30 years later, we're still married. We have three kids. And back then, I was totally, very much of a fan of Frida's work. So we went to visit her house, the Blue House, in Coyoacán, just outside of Mexico City. And her husband, Diego Rivera, had a studio right across the street. They are legendary. And Salma Hayek did the movie called Frida. That was amazing. But anyway, I'm going to start here showing. These are my favorite pictures of Frida. She's famous for painting herself and all the grotesque details of her horrific life. She had polio as a little girl, so she had one leg shorter than the other, and a foot that was kind of deformed. Then when she was 18 years old, she suffered an accident in a bus in Mexico City. She was hauled by a train rail, and that was terrible. Broke her pelvis. This was in 1920-something, and medicine's very, very primitive back then. So she made, she had 30 operations during her life. She lived in pain most of her life. She always wanted to have babies, and she was never able to have Diego's baby. She calls Diego her second accident. First accident was the bus, second accident was Diego. So here she is. She's a very exotic woman. She's actually a woman of mixed heritage, much like most of us, like me. I am half Cambiva Indian from Brazil, and my mother had Portuguese blood and also native blood, so I'm mixed, native and Portuguese. And Frida's father was a German Jew,
right.
A Hungarian, actually, Jew, that came from Germany to Mexico, and he was a photographer. And her mother was an Indian woman from Oaxaca, Mexico. So she was also mixed heritage. She was half Indian and half European. She always loved to wear very exotic jewelry. That's where my inspiration comes from. I like to make jewelry that nobody else has because I like to. She also wore a lot of pre-Columbian jewelry. Her husband Diego was a great collector of jewelry, so she got to wear a lot of the things he found when he was around. Here she is in the 1920s, and you can see her typical dress. She always would wear a braid in her hair and lots of things. Here she is on her wedding day, August 21st, 1929. And Diego was much older than her. Diego had already been married 3 or 4 times. Diego had children her age. As a matter of fact, Diego's daughter, Dolores, became a good friend of hers, and she's the one who wrote the cookbook of Frida's recipe. So here she is with Diego. She actually married Diego twice. The first time in 1929, and then they got divorced, and the second time they got married in San Francisco in the 1930s. So they had a very tumultuous love affair. Diego was very, mujeriego, that's how we say it in Spanish. I don't know how to say that in English.
Womanizer.
So he was in love with all the women in Mexico, especially Maria Felix, who's a big, screen actress. She was a movie actress. And he'd go to fiestas and go to parties and never come home. So Frida was most of the time alone. She was alone is how she lived most of her life. She loved wearing all the clothes of Mexico. Like in Mexico, I don't know how many of you have been there, but different regions of Mexico, different cities of Mexico, they have different ways of wearing dresses, of making dresses. And everybody in the village wears the same thing. So this is a Tijuana outfit. that's all embroidered, hand embroidered. So she loved wearing all of that. She was very proud of her Mexican heritage. Here she is again with another typical Mexican dress. And a lot of people say, oh, she was just hiding her physical inabilities behind that beautiful dress and all the stuff that she wore. She always put ribbons and flowers in her hair, and she wore a lot of native dresses. Here she is again.
She's a lot prettier than he is cute.
I know her mother would call him El Sapo, the frog, because he was so grotesque in so many ways. But the
he hopped from.
He was also, when she was in that accident that I told you, she was 18 years old and she was coming back from school in Mexico City. She was at La Prepa, which is a very exclusive school, and she was in that horrific accident. Her medical bills were tremendous. Her parents had to remortgage the house to pay for the medical bills. So when Diego came into their lives, Diego brought money, because he was one of the most celebrated artists in Mexico. He was one of the major muralists. You know, he's a big artist, bigger than life back then. Mm-hmm. And so he was able to help solve the problem with the family and help financially with all the medical bills that it took for her to come back and walk again. She was able to walk. She was in in a body cast for over a year. Can you imagine? And all she could do was draw. She self-taught. She went to school to learn how to paint and draw, but most of the time she drew by herself. Her father encouraged her. When she was a little girl and couldn't walk, and couldn't run, couldn't hop because of her foot problem, her father provided her with all the materials to draw and to paint and to really, you know, develop her craft. Here she is. This is one of the last photographs in her life. She's in her wheelchair in her backyard, trying to paint, and of course she's wearing another Indian dress and her hair up in flowers. This is her first painting. She was 17 years old when she painted this portrait of herself. And she's most famous for her portrait. Of course, the Uni Brown is universally recognized as Frida. And instead of hiding it or plucking it, she just wore it proudly and made it very prominent in all her paintings. And so this is the painting that she gave to Diego. And he was so impressed by this little girl who was very petite. She was shorter than me. She was like 4'10". I'm 5'2". So she was 4'10". She was really short. And he was so impressed with this little girl, 17 years old, that had all these aspirations to become an artist. And she gave him this portrait of herself. I mean, she came up with a bunch of pictures, and one of them was this, and said, choose one. And he chose that painting of her. She continued to paint herself. Here you see, airplanes flying in the skies in the 1930s, so that was a new technology advance. And again, she's wearing her necklace, that's what I wanted to call attention to, is a pre-Columbian piece that Diego found and gave it to her. So this was carved by the Olmecs. So this is ancient relic in Mexico. She wore all of those things. And this is jade, carved jade. And then you see the lace, the detail in her paintings. And her paintings, the most amazing thing about the paintings is the texture. She used to do little scribbles and create like the curtain. You can see it's a curtain, has volume, it has size. So she was really amazing. Here's a picture of her family history. And you see her mother, very dark Indian from Oaxaca, and her grandparents who are Indians from Oaxaca. And you see her father from Hungary and Germany, and her Jewish ancestry, right there. And then she shows herself as a baby, as a young girl, and then she shows her mother carrying her as a baby. She loved anatomy. She studied anatomy. And some of her paintings are very grotesque because she showed every part of the body. And here is the house, the blue house, where she grew up. That house, that's the house that Diego bought and put in her name after the father, the parents had remortgaged. Their house is still in Mexico. It's a museum. If you ever go to Mexico City, I strongly encourage you to go check it out. Coyoacán is a very charming suburb of Mexico City. They still have horse-drawn carriages. And it's a very interesting story in that barrio. It's a little neighborhood because that's also where Trotsky was killed. So we're going to come to that in a little bit. But this is her life, how she saw herself. Here is her wedding picture. And she makes Diego smaller and she makes herself taller because they said that she barely came up to his shoulder. She was really small. And of course, he has that paint brushes and palette and that funny look. And she is dressed again like a full Mexican with a rebozo. Rebozo is a shawl. She had an extensive collection of hand-woven shawls, rebozos, which is an exhibition. Now here we start with her her paintings and her obsession with the third eye. She always saw herself beyond herself. You know, her physical inabilities did not stop her from being creative, from living life to the fullest. Her friends, when they talk about her, they say that nobody laughed harder than her. Nobody had more fun than her. To have her in a party was like she was the life of the party. But in this picture, you see her tears. You see her preoccupation with Diego. And you see how her hair is almost like entangling her or choking her. She made a lot of paintings where she was being sacrificed. Here's another one. And then she paints all the, she had a very, the house had a garden, so she spent a lot of time in the garden painting. So she puts all the foliage, all the animals. She had monkeys and deers as her pets, and she puts those in paintings as well. And I wanted to tell you that anytime if you want to stop me, ask a question, or you have a comment, please feel free, okay? This is open to suggestions. Yes.
Oh, what was that in her third eye area? What is that?
Well, she has a skull. She has a skull right there, and she has bones. I mean, she is thinking about death, because it was very close to her. I mean, she came close to death a few times, very young. And she had polio, she almost died, she had a fever for almost a year, and then they were finally saved her life, but they, you know, she had a leg problem. Then when she was 18, she was in a cast, a body cast for a year. So death was always one of her favorite themes. Her favorite holiday in Mexico was Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead. And as a matter of fact, in her bed, she had a full skeleton, like a puppet, on top of it, looking at her. And she felt that that's how she could, she had to have that every day to remind how lucky she was that she was alive. Because La Muerte was just around the corner, ready to take her. That's what she used to say. So here she's expressing Mexico. Here's a little girl who's young and, you know, has life in front of her, but she's wearing a mask. And here's another mask from all the dances of Mexico. A lot of Indian tribes in Mexico dance with masks.
And the flower.
And the flower. And the Popocatépetl and the whole mountains behind her. Here's another one she calls as the four inhabitants of Mexico. Here we have the worker, the little girl, the sculpture that looks like a pre-Columbian monolithic piece, and then of course La Calaca, which is prominent in Mexico. It's the symbol of eternity. Everybody is a walking skeleton. So they just, she put it in there.
Yeah, straw figure in the back.
Yeah, the man is walking, you know, the man and the burro are a straw figure. That's a reflection of the arts and crafts of Mexico. They make all kinds of figures out of straw. So she added that to her paintings. She didn't do a lot of paintings about anything else, about, you know, Mexico. Most of her paintings was about herself or portraits of different people.
When is the Day of the Dead?
November 2nd.
It is related to All Saints.
Well, the Catholic religion incorporated it and made it to be All Saints and All Souls Day. But it predates the Colombian invasion. They had Day of the Dead 3,000 years ago in Mexico. They've been celebrating for all that time.
At the same time of the year?
At the same time of the year.
and that it was European Christianity that
parked it on top of something else. Well, in the 4th century, Pope Gregory IV created All Souls, All Hallows Eve, mm-hmm. All Souls Day, and not on the Day of Death,
mm-hmm.
right? They have those holidays. But when they came to Mexico, there was already a very full festivities, that annual festival that takes place every year in Mexico, and it's not just one day. Some places 3 weeks. Ties in with harvest time also. So that's why. I'm sorry, yesterday Sato talked about the Day of the Dead.
Oh, yeah.
And you missed it. But anyway, we also have a book in the library that talks about, in the bookstore that talks about what is the Day of the Dead. Alright? So here is a picture of Frida's bed that I told you. She had a full-size skeleton sleeping on top of her like that. And she had a mirror. Under there's a mirror. And then that's how she felt that death was so close to her that she needed to keep reminding herself.
What's the significance of the branch of the tree on her coverlet?
She felt very connected to plants. She had a very active correspondence with Luther Burbank in California. And it always amazes me because there was no internet. You know, the mail service is very rudimentary in the 30s and 40s, but she was always very intrigued with plants. She felt that when she died, she was going to be back to be a plant.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about it in her diary. So here she painted it. Like the plants are already growing, they can't wait. Yes?
What are the cylinder objects on top of the...
These are her... You know what happens in Mexico? They blow up the puppet with the fireworks on the Day of the Dead. They burn it. Okay? So these are fireworks things. It's rigged to get to be fired up. So they do that on the Day of the Dead. If you go to a party in Mexico, on that day they'll burn an effigy of the Day of the Dead. So she got one ready to go. Here she is expressing her Indianness, and then she has this little white dog there. But again, she's dressed like an Indian woman in Mexico. Very simple, no jewelry, very basic. And then she paints herself like an Austrian princess. You know, this is the painting she gave to Trotsky. Now let's talk about Trotsky a little bit so you understand the connection. Diego Rivera was a communist, so was Frida. She was an atheist and a communist. Now how she got into the US stamp, I don't know. There's a commemorative stamp to Frida. But anyway, they were very active in the communist party, so Trotsky was exiled from Russia and came to Mexico. So Diego Rivera, Cicados, and all the other artists who were at the forefront of all this communist movement accepted Trotsky into their lives and gave them, you know, sanctuary. So she and Trotsky had an affair. And she loved him. And she painted this picture, and she sends over here in her writing. This is painted by Frida Kahlo for Leon Trotsky. And the date and everything. And of course, a few years later, I think he only lived in Mexico about 4 or 5 years. He was assassinated, him and his wife. They were the only two survivors of the whole family. His children, his relatives had all been already killed in Russia. So they were killed in Mexico City, and she went to jail for a few days because they suspected that her and Diego and Cicados, they all knew they were a plot. There was an investigation. She was finally cleared about a week later, but she spent a week in jail because after Trotsky was assassinated. So when you go to Coyoacán, they have a tour in a horse-drawn carriage where they go pick you up from the blue house, which is her house. They show you Diego's house. They show Trotsky's house. They show Cicado's house. And Trotsky's house had a little lookout place, a little tower they built for somebody to be in the lookout because they knew that somebody was going to try to kill him. And they did. Here she is painted like I don't know if you've seen tin art in Mexico, you know, where they cut the tin and they paint in nice colors. That's her mirror image in a tin can. And one time she found out that Diego was having an affair with her own sister, Christina, the baby in that first picture. And she was so distraught about it, she cut off her whole hair. So this is one of the pictures she painted of herself with her new look. Here she is with her monkeys, her butterflies, and a dead hummingbird hanging from her neck. So she had a cat, which looks like a panther also, and it's very jungle-like, so you might think, well, he was a panther, who knows? But she loved nature, she loved her studies of nature are just amazing, the things she painted.
The pin art picture was the happiest looking that there's been so far.
Let me see, this one here? Well, she never shows
it. It isn't very light.
No. You will never see a painting of her smiling. I mean, you know, if you go back real fast, all of them are serious.
Yeah, very.
You know, she's not smiling. Here she's sleeping. But even her first one, she's not smiling.
These don't look like the life of a party type.
That's for her.
People. person.
The other thing is, when she was alone and she was painting, she always talks about the fact that she needed morphine. She was in pain.
Yeah.
She was painting in between operations. She had over 30 physical procedures done on her. And, you know, very rudimentary medicine back then in Mexico. She went to Europe and had a few operations. She came to the U.S. and had operations, but it was never solved any of her problems. Never really. So she's painting, you know, she surrounds herself with life.
Yeah.
But inside, I think she already knew that she was dying. She had lots of parrots, lots of chickens and monkeys, and she had a deer in her backyard. She had all the animals people brought her, she kept.
And she smokes.
She smokes, and she drank heavily. She was a tequilera. She loved to drink tequila. Here she is again with another monkey, and you see broken bones here.
Oh, no.
And this also is significant to her back. I mean, she broke, her pelvis was broken, her back was broken. And she even paints a painting of, but she's always really serious. She was always alone. She was always in search of company.
What caused her death?
She had pneumonia. But she was in very frail state because she couldn't walk anymore. She had one show, here she is as a deer. You know, she had a deer in the backyard, and then she painted the deer with all the arrows.
Saint Sebastian?
Almost like a Saint Sebastian thing, but almost also like a self-sacrificing aura. And then there's tears rolling down her face, too.
How old was she when she passed away?
She was 48 years old.
So she was a young woman?
She was a young woman, by our standards, yeah. And here she is again after one of her operations. And you see her back there, and you see the stitches. Mm-hmm. And then you see night and day, you see how she wanted to be. This is her braces. She had to always wear a brace to hold herself up because her column was broken. And here she says, Árbol de la Esperanza, mantente firme, which means tree of hope, keep strong. Because that was her motto, was to keep strong. She put up a front for everybody. But I don't think she was never without pain. She was always in pain. And you see how the hospital bed is just so typical of the 30s and 40s when this happened. Here you see the two Fridas. She always thought that there was two people caught inside herself. Part of it is her duality, being half Indian and half white. Part of it is also her wishing that she was well. So she paints a strong Frida and one that needs a transplant. She paints the Indian and the white next to each other. Even the color of her face is different, but they're holding each other. So she explored that whole theme of duality in her painting. Here's when she came to Detroit, Michigan. Diego won a commission by the Rockefellers to paint, by him, he also went to New York with the Rockefellers, but she was so excited to go see what America looked like, what the Industrial Revolution looked like, the because back then it was a big thing, you know. So when she came, she painted again the duality. You see the industrial things in the side over here with the American flag, and then all the flowers, all the things, the pyramids in Mexico that she missed, the sun and the moon in Mexico, and then also all the life that she had over there. And over here, she signed her name as Carmen Rivera. Well, that's the other thing I wanted to tell you. I feel like I have a lot of things in common with her. One of the things, we were both named Carmen. Her name is Carmen Frida Calderón y Calvo. And I'm Carmen de Novais Guerrero. So that she was married to an artist bigger than life. I'm married to an artist bigger than life. Luckily, he's not an Uberiego. So I'm luckier than her. She's more Sufrida, that's what I call her. She suffered much more. But this is one of the only paintings where she signed the Rivera name. And she signed it as Carmen instead of Frida. She was Magdalena Carmen Frida, was her full name in baptized at the time of her baptism. Here she is in Detroit, taking a bath in a bathtub, and she paints herself.
Oh, strange.
Very strange. She paints her deformed feet, see? One foot looks normal, the other one is where it's cut and scratched. And then in the middle, you see all these images, which are her nightmare in a sense, and her the things that she missed about Mexico, especially the volcano, Popocatépetl. Mm. That's what she painted over there. And again, here she has this duality, a white Frida and a brown Frida right there. So she's sitting in a tub, she must have been for days, painting. And she says in her diary, oh, I'm going to go take my bath again and just paint until the water gets so cold I have to be pulled out. And then, you know, that's how she painted her life there. Here she is again turning into plants. And her fascination with the botanical world. You know, I have to remember that in the 30s and 40s, a lot of medication was done through tinctures and plants. Yeah. So she felt that this is how what was going to help her. You know, she had already been through so many operations and they hadn't really restored her health. And this is a very strange painting because she is holding baby Diego. So it's really crazy.
It's like a nesting.
Well, first of all, there's sort of like the sun and the moon. See, there's a duality, white and dark. You know, this black hand over here is like the earth holding her. So she's sitting there holding Diego, but there's an earth figure behind her and a sky figure behind the earth figure.
It's an Madonna and child kind of thing. But
yeah.
The Pieta.
The Pieta, exactly. She also felt that Diego was very immature, like a child. And so she forgave him for all the times that he was, faithful to her. She would say, oh, you're just a baby, you don't know.
Trotsky just kind of
hated even. Well, she had affairs with men and women. She was very much beyond her time.
Mm-hmm. Progressive, yes.
Very progressive, yes. But the thing was, she was actually thirsty for love. That's what it was. She was lonely, she had problems, and she needed company, and Diego was never around. He was always going around. He had to go paint, he had to go to meetings, he had to go to this, he had to be invited to fiestas, and she couldn't go. She was in a wheelchair. So think about it. In the 30s and 40s in Mexico, how hard it would be for somebody in a wheelchair to move, to go places. As a matter of fact, she only had one art show in Mexico, and it was 6 months before she died. She went in her bed. She had to hire somebody in a truck to come pick up her bed because she couldn't even move. And then she showed up in her bed to the
That paper. Was her only exhibition in her life?
Only exhibition in Mexico City. She had an exhibition in Paris. She was very celebrated in Paris because they thought she was a surrealist painter. And she had a couple shows there when she went to Europe with Diego. But she only had one exhibition during her lifetime in Mexico. She was so excited her country was finally recognizing her. But it was 6 months before she died. She was in really poor health. But the poor health was because she really didn't take care of herself. She smoked to extreme, she drank to extremes. Mm-hmm. She never was very healthy to begin with. Another picture of her, and you see the same expression, no smiling. Mm-hmm. And then plants and nature around her. That was her universe. she's again, and this hand was given to her, her earring was given to her by Picasso. She was a very charming woman. When she went to Europe, everybody, nobody liked Diego. They thought he was brash, you know, just very egocentric and very arrogant. But they loved Frida. They thought Frida was such a neat lady. And that's why she got in with a lot of the artists in France. And Picasso came to meet them and gave her this pair of earrings. And here she wrote, oh, I can even read. The picture's not a very good one. But she signs Frida Kahlo. I think it's 1938. And this picture was painted herself. Here's another one. And she's always wearing, you know, like I say again, jewelry from pre-Columbian times and native dress.
I notice in a lot of the pictures that she's painted, she's also put a message.
She puts a message on top, yeah.
Yeah. And is there significance in, because I saw there were a couple, especially that one of the earth and the...
Let me see, the earth where she's holding.
See, now there's none there.
No, there was none there. But when she gave it to somebody, she would
put
sign it. I painted for you, this is Frida Kahlo, like the one that she gave to Trotsky, it says.
Yeah, oh,
to
okay.
Leon Trotsky, with all my love, Frida Kahlo.
Gotcha, so it's like an initial signing, more
yes.
than just signing her
on
initials.
That one, on that last one there, with the thing around her neck, it looks like it was one of those deliberate things you did to suffer for penance.
Oh, penance, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, there's a lot of symbolism in her. Here she is again, smoking a cigarette with a little tiny dog.
Is that a chihuahua?
A chihuahua. A little tiny one. I mean, I think it's the smallest chihuahua I've ever seen. And here is when she found out again. She actually wrote a song right there. When she found out that Diego was betraying her again, she wrote, look at you, I loved you because of your hair. Now that you are pelona, you are with no hair, I don't love you anymore. And then this is it. She's wearing his clothes. You can tell the men's clothes is oversized for her. She is.
What launched her into the public eye?
What launched her in the public
eye?
This is a very interesting question because she really didn't become known until the 1980s. And I think it had to do with the women's movement in America. I think we were looking for, you know, somebody that would stand up for women's rights, and Frida kind of fit that, and then they just took over. And then Hayden Herrera wrote a seminal book about her in, I think it was 86 or 87. And then people started talking about it, started discovering her, and it's been a wonderful journey. But she was not really, she was only known in Mexico. Very, very esoteric. Nobody really talked about it. She was the wife of Diego Rivera, so, you know. And Diego even used to make fun of her paintings because he paints over large, you know, over life-size murals. And she paints the little things like this with all these little details, you know.
And part of what makes Frida and Diego so interesting is they were part of the first, the movement to get the Mexican folk art back in the consciousness
oh, yes.
of the Mexican people and the rest of the world.
Definitely.
So the two of them and Carlos were pushing that, and you can see them all through.
Yes, definitely. Here she's dressed as a Tijuana, which is part of southern Mexico, like by Oaxaca. The women all wear this very, almost like a veil, but very elaborate. So she painted herself as a Tijuana. With Diego is part of the third one. And here's another outfit from another part of Mexico. But you see her suffering, and you see there's just a couple of little tears there, you know? I don't know if you can see, right behind her eye, there's a little tear, just little. I mean, every one of her paintings, she is crying. She's crying for help, she's crying for attention, she's crying inside, even though she shows it very beautiful outside. Now, here are parts of her diary. Her diary is just amazing. She paints her dreams, her nightmares, and everything, and how it comes to her. And of course, Diego. Estoy sola. That's right. I'm alone. And that's how it was. She never knew where he was because he was always gone and she was always stuck at home with nothing to paint but herself. Here again, pages of her diary. She writes poems and recipes and letters to people, political statements, everything in her diary. And they just recently found it. As a matter of fact, about 5 years ago, they found a trunk full of her clothes. Her niece found it in the, you know, somewhere in the attic of an old housing. And then when they opened the trunk, it smelled like smoke. Because she was smoking, it smelled like Frida. They actually did a documentary about it. Now, this is what I like the most about Frida, are her still lifes. The way she painted flowers and fruit and the nature. You know, the way she painted the animals, I think is really her gift. You know, it's great that she painted herself, but she painted a lot of other stuff besides herself. So her plants, her flowers, and nobody really talks about her real paintings. You know? These are all oils. And this is the coconut crying.
Oh.
Coconut, and then she says, I painted with all my love, Frida Kahlo. Pintó con todo mi cariño. And here, more plants, more fruits. Then she put a flag of Mexico right there.
Mexican fruit.
Mexican fruit.
Weren't these pieces commissioned?
No,
the fruits and the plants.
Some of them, but most of the commissions she made, she did a few commissions. I don't think I have pictures of them, but she painted the, she became friends with the Luz family who owned Time Magazine in New York. And one of their friends had committed suicide. So then they commissioned her to do a portrait of this woman. Well, she painted the woman jumping off of the building, splattering herself down. And the woman, Mrs. Luz, she wanted to get a pair of scissors and just cut it off. She was so indignant about it. She says, I didn't ask you to paint that. I wanted you to paint my friend. And Frida was so obsessed with death, this theme of death, and the way she died, that she had to paint the whole thing. And paint that. Fruits of Life, 1954, that's the year she died. So she was born in 1907 and she died in 1954. So this is one of the last paintings that she did. And here she painted the bride and all the plants over here. It says, La novia que se espanta de ver la vida abierta. The bride is taken back, seeing life opening up to her. And then she writes over here, Frida Kahlo, 1954. Another one. This is 1938, so that was earlier. She always painted fruits and nature. And then she said, naturaleza viva. Nature is alive. Yeah. And again, more paintings of fruits. She loved all these weird fruits. This is tuna, the fruit of the cactus. And inside, it has a... It's really hard for you to get it because it has spikes coming up. So you have to clean that first, and then when you cut it, you have this kind of like white, mushy thing with black seeds in it. Mm-hmm. Very delicious, very sweet. So this is tuna. And more. This is her last painting, 1954. And what did she write on it? Long live life, viva la vida, and Frida Kahlo. So this is her last painting.
Was she dying at that time? Or did she know she was dying?
She knew she was dying. She contracted pneumonia, you know, right around the time that her show took place in Bellas Artes, the Mexico City show. So she was in really poor health, and she knew that she didn't have a lot of time to live. There was nothing they could do for her anymore. She had had all the operations and everything. Now, this is what she wrote in her diary. She wrote that I have achieved a lot. I will be able to paint. I love Diego more than I love myself. My will is great, and my will remains. So she wrote, those are the last entries in her diary. And then she becomes this wonderful, you know, icon of Latin arts all over the world. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows Frida Kahlo. People now don't even talk about Diego unless you know about the mural movement of Mexico, unless you're interested, but everybody knows who Frida Kahlo is. And now Madonna buys her paintings for millions of dollars. Like she paid $3 million for one of her portraits, the duality portrait.
Do you have any idea why she writes, "I know I will paint" or "I will be able to paint" when she knew she was dying? Do you have thoughts about that?
I don't know why she would do that. Well, you know, when she started painting, people doubted her that she could make a living as a painter. I think that has to do with it. Diego's the only one said, "I'll just stay home and paint. I'll pay your bills and you can just stay home and paint." Mm-hmm. So that's what she did. Well, I guess that's the bell for dinner, is it?
No.
No?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, any questions? Any questions or any more?
Did she believe in reincarnation with the plant life you mentioned earlier?
I think so.
And maybe she's saying, regardless of what I come back, I will paint? Maybe she just thought that in this next
I thought it was interesting that she says that my will is great and my will remains.
Yeah.
You know, those two last things is just like she's actually she's more famous now than when she was alive. Her work is more significant now that's been published and republished than when she just had tons of paintings in her house and nobody knew about. Any other questions that you might have? Or comments, yes.
Was the movie, was Selma Hayek, was that pretty accurate?
I think so. She was not as beautiful as Selma Hayek, but I think
Selma's
the movie...
taller.
Yeah, Selma's taller. But the movie was pretty accurate. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
And the movie won an Oscar for the music. The music was absolutely awesome. I love how they use the glass harp. Any other question or comments? Yes.
Did she ever go to Oaxaca?
Yes, she went to Oaxaca to visit her grandparents.
Okay.
Yeah. She was born in Mexico City, but she went back to Oaxaca many times. Yeah. Any other questions?
That's your sister there, is there?
Yeah, that's... okay, this is her and her parents, and this is her mother pregnant of Cristina, her grandmother.
Oh.
Yeah. Her mother had a child. It was with a child when she remembered that.
Just say something more about the third eye, what you think that meant to her.
Well, she read, she was really connected with a lot of intellectuals around the world. With her, she had a really interesting correspondent with Dr. Atwood, ATL, who was one of the most, foremost known intellectuals in Mexico. And they explored this whole idea that we do live in a third dimension, that we have a third eye. So she explored that in her painting. In her writing, she talks about that she believed that there was a third person living inside her, just like her duality, but also there was something in her third eye. So she was really out there, philosophically, thinking of beyond herself. Yes, you have a question? Anybody else? Comment, yes?
You're Frida, Phoenix Fridas.
Oh, let me tell you about Phoenix Fridas. We're just a bunch of crazy ladies. We came together about that. We started 2002. There's actually a movement in the country right now of all this underground craft movement. So in Austin, they have a group of women who are called the Austin Craft Mafia. And they do things like crochet and knitting, and they come together. Then in New York, there's Las Bandidas from New York City. And then my girlfriend, who's actually called Crafty Chica, her line is on sale at Michael's in Kohl's. She had a line of things. She came up with the idea, why don't we start a group and call ourselves the Phoenix Frida, just because the F sign, right? Phoenix Frida. And it caught on. So every year we celebrate Frida's birthday, we have a show. You know, all of us are artists. I'm the only one that do beadwork, but other people do crochet and sewing and painting and different kind of media. So we have a show together, and every time we do a show, we fundraise for a woman's organization. So we've done that as a sort of like coming together.
When is Frida's birthday?
July 7th. So we just celebrated last month before I came here. We had a big show. That downtown Phoenix, the Phoenix Fridas. And we celebrated her birthday. Everybody came. Everybody, we did a Frida look-alike contest. Guess what? We had to come create a different category because there was a lot of guys that came as Fridas. Eyebrows and everything, and Zarko's aunt, 78 years old, showed up like Frida, and I didn't even recognize her. She came over to hug me, and I looked, and Tia Pat! What happened? She goes, oh, I came as Frida, so we had to give everybody prizes. So amazing. Wow. And the guys, too, the Fridos came, showed up. You know, the Fridos. So the eyebrows have become huge, you know? And it's gone on. So we had lots of fun at our event because we had Fridas and the Fridas look alike. All of us talk. We also do a panel where all of us talk about why are we inspired by Frida? What does inspire? For me, for instance, because I do bead work that is very detailed, very small, I identify with the way she painted. All her paintings have so much detail, have so much paint in it, you know? So to be, I think she spent hours and hours. So I relate to that. But all the other Fridas have different stories. We have a smoking Frida. She actually smokes and she goes, oh, I'm going to be a Frida, I'm going to smoke. And then we have Tia Frida, Panchita Frida, the crafty Frida, I'm the Frida beater. Yeah. So we've done a few TV shows on DIY network, do-it-yourself network. Yeah, they've had the fabulous Phoenix Fridas on it. So we do a series where each one of us teach an activity. And then on Frida's birthday too, we have children's activities. We have like a Frida cutout, so people can put a picture of their face and it's a picture of Frida. And then we do make a take activity for the kids to make either eyebrows or a headdress. But it's fun. Any other question?
What was the name of the movie then?
Frida. Yeah, you should rent it and check it out. The music is absolutely amazing. The acting is awesome. The story is...
What are the fruit nuts after the last pictures?
What is the fruit? Is that the tuna? Oh, that's the tuna. Tuna.
Is there another name for it? Isn't there another name for the fruit?
Prickly pear, that's right. I call it. And some of them becomes green and some of them becomes red. Any other question or comment? Thank you so much. And if you want to talk about Frida, I'll be around and I love talking about her. I love learning more about her.